Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this.
The statistics are grim. For the week of May 4th, five people were suspected of a drug overdose in local emergency departments. Paramedics identified a possible four people had overdosed during the same period when on call. In April, officials believe four people died due to drugs. The opioid crisis fades into the background as other concerns overwhelm. But for some on the front lines, the battle continues. On today's show, Martha Faulkner will talk about the Youth Substance Use Prevention Initiative. It is getting underway in Peterborough. This is a program developed in Iceland to help youth turn away from drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. The program is run through the Peterborough Health Unit. Listen to hear if the program would be a good one for Northumberland County. I'm so pleased to welcome to the program Martha Faulkner, Public Health Nurse and Coordinator of the Peterborough Youth Substance Use Prevention Initiative. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you so much. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you for having me.
Can you summarize very briefly in an overview, what is the Peterborough Youth Substance Use Prevention Initiative?
I would be happy to. So when you think about substance use, a lot of what we've been doing to this point has really been trying to address substance use after it's already been happening, that secondary prevention. And so what we're really trying now is to take a different focus and think, well, let's not wait until it's too late and our youth are already using substances. Let's try and address this before they even start. And we've been really lucky because there was an opportunity to apply for a grant last year at a national level, so right across Canada. And it was wonderful because it already had been trialed in a couple of locations, this model that we're using in Canada, one in Lanark County and one in Calgary. And it actually is a model called the Icelandic Prevention Model. And what we love about this is that it's something that's been tried, tested internationally, and it's about coming together as a community. And we're so good at that. I love living, raising children in the Peterborough community because we're so good at coming together for certain issues. And we just want this to be the next one. How can we all come together to create a social environment, a community for our youth to grow and thrive, where we can nurture them to be the best versions of themselves? That's really what we're talking about.
There's lots of good information in there, and I'd like to now start to unpack that a bit, and let's look at all the different aspects. So what is the goal you're trying to achieve by doing this in a preventative way?
Absolutely. I think one of the key pieces of all of this that we continue to say is that we have to hear from our youth. We have to hear what they have to say. What experiences are they having? And to understand the world that they're living in from them. And what are they looking for? How can we support them? And so one of the key factors of this model that we're adapting for our community is having a survey where we can actually ask some of these questions. And the thing that we like to talk about is that when you're looking at substance use prevention, you rarely are actually talking about substance use. You're really talking about that sense of belonging, that sense of community. You're looking at these things that you may have heard of, we call protective factors or risk factors. And we're starting throughout that whole childhood. Although the survey is done with our youth in teenage years, we're actually looking then to learn from them and say, well, what can we do for youth that are 10 years younger? That are even younger than that? What changes can we make to their environment? So really from the time they're in utero to the time that they're young and starting school, what can we do? And so our work has targeted that school age group. So we say, what can we do in that school aged group of children to try to improve that social environment, to create that sense of community and belonging for them?
I'd like to go back to another point that you raised in your first statement, and that was, I believe you're one of seven communities that are being funded for this work. Is that correct?
That is correct. When we had the opportunity last year, it was only going to be four. And luckily, the Public Health Agency of Canada was able to find finances to fund seven of us across Canada for the first part of this grant. And it's been really great to have other colleagues, other communities working through this process at the same time, because we really do spend time talking to each other, learning from each other and working together, which has been really nice.
How much money did you receive?
So for the first stream, so they're calling the funds we received last year were for stream one, and that amount was $125,000. But the key to that was it was really very intentional, because the Icelandic prevention model is actually a 10-step process, but the funds were only funding us for the first three. And the reason for that was they, part of the importance of this model is to create a very strong, solid foundation. You know, we know that this type of prevention work is long-term work. We're not going to make changes overnight. It's taken us years and years, decades to get here. And so we need to be really intentional. And that's what this money is for. It was really about building a group, a core planning group of community agencies and partners. And that's what we've been doing for the last year. And funny enough, we are in the final stages of applying for Stream 2 funding. The application actually goes in tomorrow.
I understand, and you've mentioned it already, this Icelandic prevention model. Can you describe what that is and how it works?
The Icelandic prevention model is a 10-step process that came about after Iceland realized in the late 1990s that, actually it was maybe early 1990s, that they were having real issues with alcohol and tobacco use in their youth. And so they were able, over a 25-year timeline, to make changes in their community to support families, to support parents, to support their youth, and saw drastic improvements in these numbers. And as they started to release information, a lot of other communities across the world started to say, well, what did you guys do? Like, how did you do this? And they came up with this Icelandic prevention model. And so what's great about it is there are 10 steps, but it's very adaptable. It's meant to be adapted for your community. You work through the steps and you have this guidance program through the Planet Youth, which is kind of that overarching agency, the consulting group that support us as we're working through these 10 steps. And then the point is, you repeat, you evaluate, you repeat, and you do it again.
I understand there have been studies done over a 10-year period that show nearly half the number of young people getting drunk during the day and nearly two-thirds dropped in the use of alcohol, tobacco, and cannabis in this Icelandic model that you've talked about. That sounds very impressive, but it's over a decade to reach that point. With such a serious problem in the community, can it wait a decade to see the results?
And, you know, and that is part of the difficulty when you're working in prevention work. We really do live in this society of quick fixes, right? Like growing up, I didn't have the ability to, you know, text somebody and get an answer right away. You know, I had to wait till they were in their house and pick up a telephone and wait for them to answer the phone to have that question answered. So, you know, the world has changed so quickly that you're right. We have to understand that where we've gotten to at this point isn't something that we're going to be able to fix quickly. It is absolutely going to take time for prevention. And that's why doing prevention work sometimes can be really challenging to get that widespread support. And That's why building this solid foundation of what we're doing right now and looking at the world our youth live in. There's these four domains in the Icelandic prevention model, and they say, you know, our youth don't live in isolation. They live in this world where they interact with peers, with family, with schools, and then they have leisure time. And that all of that lives within the community where they grow and learn and work. And so how can we address all of those different areas together? And I think the key part is, as you said, it's really hard to say, how can we make these changes when it's a problem right now? So it's complementary work. While we're doing this primary prevention work, it's still hearing what our youth right now are saying. What do they need now? And so it may be complementary with some of our key partners in the community to really look at what is that secondary work that we can be doing simultaneously to support what's happening right now while really putting more emphasis on that prevention, because we are good at that. You know, if you think about it, a lot of that programming out there right now is more treatment, is more band-aid. Let's deal with it after the problem already exists. We've got that going. That has been the way we've been addressing this issue. So we'll continue to do that. We're not saying stop that. We're just saying complementary to that, let's also start thinking about this, not as fast-paced, not as quick-actioned work, but key, important foundational work.
Earlier in our conversation, you alluded to a survey. I understand it's going to be done with grade 10 students. Mm-hmm. How is that going to work, and how is that an analysis of those results going to play out going forward?
Well, I love that question, Robert, because that's one of the other key bonuses of working with this Planet Youth Guidance Program, is that they have a survey that they have tested, and there's the ability for us to be able to adapt the survey while keeping the integrity of it to ensure that the questions that we're asking are relevant to the community that we live in. You know, of course, there's some standard demographic questions, but even the wording of those, we have the ability to adapt that. We have the ability to ask some additional questions that may be related to those protective factors and risk factors that we're seeing in our community, that we're hearing from our partners, are important things to be considering in this work. And so we're working right now. We don't know what exactly the process is going to be and how that survey is going to be implemented yet, because we're working with our school boards to ensure that we're doing it in the best way possible, and working with our community partners to ensure that we're also hearing the voices of those students who maybe aren't in that school day in and day out, and maybe aren't going to have that ability to fill out that survey if it's being done in our schools. But that's some of those other conversations on the side that we're trying to navigate. But the best part about all of this is that Planet Youth reviews and assesses and analyzes that data for us within 6 to 8 weeks after the survey is completed. And that is unheard of. A lot of the data that we have to make decisions on, you know, if you're reading a news article or you've talked to other people about programming, and we'll give you provincial data, we give you national data, but it takes 2 to 3 years from the time that data is actually collected for it to be assessed and analyzed and reviewed and released to the public. And so by the time you're looking at something, you know, think about our world. What was it like during COVID, pre and post? 2 years, 3 years was a huge difference. So the bonus of this survey is that we'll get those results within 6 to 8 weeks, when what we've heard is still relevant, is still important, and we can action that, and we can pull together our community and say, okay, here's what we've heard. How are we going to address it? What do you think we need to do? How can we come together? And I think it holds much more value to people to say, okay, this really is, you're right. I'm seeing that happening. I'm hearing that happening. And that's one of those bonuses, getting that survey data in 6 to 8 weeks and being able to spread that across our community is very exciting.
You mentioned twice in your answer a group called Planet Youth. Could you tell us what that is?
So Planet Youth is the consultancy group that is based out of Reykjavik, Iceland. And the people who lead Planet Youth are some of the foundational researchers who were involved in that original research in Iceland back in the early 1990s into the early 2000s.
When do you hope to start talking to young people then?
So what we've been doing, because we recognize to really have a trusting relationship, to really, you know, make a difference and to be able to hear from youth what is really important to them, that takes time. You can't just walk in and ask somebody, you know, for information if they don't know who you are, if they don't trust you. So we've been trying to do some parallel work at the same time as we've been following this Icelandic prevention model process. We've also been trying to just engage with youth at some of our schools and just be there for them and ask them really general engaging questions, such as, you know, what is important to you at your school? What issues are you seeing? What makes you proud to go to this school? Where do you go to source out information about your health? Those types of questions. And we've been handing out, you know, swag. It's amazing what a pack of sugar-free gum will do, or a fidget toy. And just showing up for them and saying, hey, what do you need and how can we support you? So that eventually, when it's time to start talking about this work and this survey with them, you know, hopefully, again, they'll be willing to have those conversations and really try to understand the importance of why we're asking some of these questions.
What are the role of parents in this model?
A key role. And a key role of what we've talked about. So again, you know, you hear me talk about youth a lot. But as I said earlier, our youth don't live in isolation and our parents need support. So yes, we understand that there's this importance of targeting our youth. But at the same time, what we might see coming out of this data is that we also need to support our parents. We need to support our schools. We need to all come together as a community and support each other. Because once we do that, we can really make that significant, sustainable change, because it can't be seen as something that's owned by external organizations or agencies. It really has to be this grassroots at the community level to make that sustainable long-term difference. And that means impacting everybody across the community.
So let's talk then about the role of schools in all of this.
So I agree with you. Our schools are where our children, they're an important partner. Our children spend such a large part of their day within our schools. But our schools continually are being asked to do more than just educate our students. And we need to come together and support our schools. And so we talk about doing this work in our school communities, but that doesn't mean that there's going to be any expectations on any of these long-term interventions being put on the shoulders of our educators and asking them to do any more. What instead we're asking is, how can we support you so that you can do your job of taking care of our children when they are at your school? What do you need within your school community from all of the rest of us to come and to support you? And, you know, perhaps hearing from the youth, is the school a hub where they spend time? Are some of the services or programming supports they need, can we link that with the school? Is that something that they appreciate or they wouldn't appreciate? It's really finding those connections of how we can all come together.
How serious a problem is substance abuse among young people in your region? I know that, for example, someone dies every 7 days, according to the Drug and Harm Reduction Portal from the health unit. Can you fill out the picture as to the seriousness of the drug crisis overall? And then could you help us understand what it is for the target group that you're trying to help?
You know, that is a really good question. And part of what the concern that we've had is that we don't have really great local data. We have to extrapolate our data from provincial and national surveys that are completed. And so that is part of what the importance is of us being able to do this survey and this work, because it allows us to actually answer some of those questions pertinent to our community. But I can give you, and when we do our presentations out in the community, we do offer a few numbers that we've been able to look at. And I know more recently, there was even an article that came out of Ottawa that discussed the numbers and the rates of increase of substance use within students ages in grades 7 to 12. And so I think what we always are trying to say here is that, in the Peterborough region, part of our local needs is that we've identified that, you know, in 2023, there were 71 drug poisoning deaths in our region. We have seen Public Health Ontario does release snapshots. And so we have been able to see that within those health units that Peterborough ranks sixth highest in Ontario for youth self-reported underage drinking. We do have one of the highest rates in Ontario of emergency department visits for cannabis related harms, and our tobacco cigarette rates above the provincial average for grades 7 to 12. And we've seen this increase in vaping and e-cigarette use for students in Ontario over the last few years.
When you put that all together, are you describing a crisis?
I think that what's happening absolutely needs to be described as a crisis, because what we're seeing is these numbers, although, you know, you might say cigarette smoking is decreasing, we're seeing an increase in vaping and we're seeing an increase in nicotine, and we're finding it difficult to stay ahead of the trends and the changes that are happening. With policies, it takes such a long time to adapt and change policies, you know, to really affect the usage, that absolutely what we've been doing isn't working. We're never going to treat our way out of this issue. And that's been kind of the primary focus of how to manage this problem. And so we are trying to use that word crisis.
It sounds to me like you're in a canoe and it's filling with water and you got a teaspoon for a bail bucket.
You know, it does feel that way at times, but I have to tell you, once you start talking to people about this, you know, it's been so great for us in our community to start having these conversations, because to build the momentum to move this forward has been amazing. We've been able to have conversations with people, and you don't have to convince anybody. Everybody understands. People are coming to us saying, we're hearing about this work you're doing. How can we get involved? How can we work with you on this? And that is phenomenal. And so I really think that the timing is right. I think that we've been seeing that prevention is needed. We know that, you know, federal funds fund, you know, 3%, 5%, less than 10% is what I can say goes towards preventative work. And so we have to do it differently. We have to find a different way of addressing this problem. And we can't wait for somebody else to make those changes for us. We have to come together. And we know that we can come together and make amazing change. And now is the time to come together for our youth and to give them the opportunity to lead the healthiest, most well life that they can.
Will this program come to Northumberland eventually?
You know, our hope and our goal in doing this here in a small subsection of Peterborough, because again, you know, we're not doing at this point time, it's not, our initiative is not focused on the whole city. We're actually only looking at one section of the Peterborough community and county, you know, the schools that feed into the high schools encompass the city and the county as well. And the point of that was to really learn the process and then be able to really help inform the expansion of it into other areas. And it's so great to hear the excitement that other people have in other communities in Haliburton, Kawartha, Northumberland, and some of our partners. What the other really wonderful thing for us is so many of our partners that we're working with who are coming to the table learning with us and working and collaborating with us are partners that work across all of those counties. So all of the learnings that we're doing will help them as well to inform the work that they're doing. So although, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. Wish I did. Don't have a crystal ball to be able to say for sure. And it may not be us. The other nice thing about the Icelandic prevention model is that it can be embedded in communities by community groups. In Lanark County, I think they were the first adopter of the Icelandic prevention model in Canada, and our neighbors. Lanark County actually came about by a handful of dedicated, interested individuals who came together. Some of the other sites in Ontario and across Canada who received funding from public health agency are community groups who are implementing the Icelandic prevention model. So that's the wonderful thing about it, is that there is so many opportunities for it to be in so many different communities in different ways. And the nice thing is now, being a larger health unit entity, there are definitely more people who can learn and we can share our learnings with.
So in all of that, I didn't hear a when and no guarantee if it's going to come at all then.
Well, unfortunately, you're right. I wish I had a crystal ball. But, you know, the thing about it is that I don't even know and can't guarantee what it looks like, even in our small community of Peterborough. And that's part of a different way of doing things, is that it's going to depend on our communities. It depends when we get out there and hear from them and what we hear from our survey, what needs to be addressed. When Lanark County did their survey, they thought they were going to hear one thing and they ended up hearing their youth needed to sleep more. And they thought, well, that is not what we expected. And so, again, we don't want to have any preconceived notions. We want to meet people where they're at. And I believe that, yes, we will continue to move things forward. I'm a huge advocate for this work. We, as a provincial group, anybody who is actually a current Planet Youth site, are coming together and are working together to gain provincial endorsements, to get the word out there so that it will be easier for other communities. And I think that there's so many learnings that we're going through as being this first group that down the road, it's just going to make it easier for other areas and communities to move this work forward.
If somebody's been listening to this interview and they would like to follow up and maybe start something in Northumberland, what should they do?
So first, we have started. We, on the day of our launch that you were talking about at the end of April, we opened up a website. And so it is our acronym. So it is actually www.pysup.ca. So that's the acronym for Peterborough Youth Substance Use Prevention. And you can go on there and you can see what we've been doing. You can get in contact with us. There's a contact page there as well. And we would be more than happy to have conversations with people and share some of the learnings that we've gained throughout this process. Because again, it's about collaborating and working smarter, not harder.
Martha Faulkner, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, thank you so very much for having me today, Robert. It was a pleasure.
That was Martha Faulkner, public health nurse and coordinator, Peterborough Youth Substance Use Prevention Initiative. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.